a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, yo.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul on the veteran. Just came here on Wednesday. He's got this to win it. Low snap. The kick.
They got done in by a bad guy who's a kicker. Insult added to injury. Texans lose 24-22 to the Green Bay Packers yesterday. They fall to 5-2. And now that we're about 21 hours removed from it, I still feel the same way. I look at this game and I see a coaching staff that got pantsed. And I feel like I've seen that happen a couple of times with D'Amico Ryans, with Bobby Slowick and company. Matt LaFleur, Jeff Hadley, the Packers defensive coordinator, they stuffed the Texans into a locker in a game that, yes, was decided at the very end, but I'm not feeling great about this coaching staff. Hello, it's Gallant and George on Monday, October 21st, 2024. Joe, I am pretty frustrated with this one because it was right there despite many mistakes that the Texans made. And yet I feel like their own game management and something that just has not improved at all this year, the offensive line did them in.
Yeah, I think when you look at the history of the Texans now through D'Amico Ryans, whether it's John Harbaugh, Kevin O'Connell, obviously this weekend with Matt LaFleur, like when they're playing in an A-plus coaching staff, most of the time...
Harbaugh's not A-plus, but I agree.
Oh, really?
No, he's not. No.
Okay.
He gets... Belichick used to pants him all the time.
That's true.
Harbaugh didn't know the rules, then he would complain after the fact. Get changed rules, sorry. That's a rant.
No,
side rant.
It's okay. It's okay. But yeah, when they play a good coaching staff, it does not go well. The offensive line, my God. I'm not a huge PFF guy myself, but sometimes there is valuable stuff in what they put out, and they have Kenyon Green ranked as the lowest-rated interior offensive lineman in the NFL this year. I mean, it is... Watching the game later last night after I got back, just the amount of times where the Packers defensive linemen or whether it was McKinney on the blitz that happened in the first quarter are coming in through free. It's just like they had no plan in this game. And I think pants is a very fair way to put how this coaching staff got treated.
Couple of game management decisions were suspect. I don't know why D'Amico Ryans didn't call a timeout when he's jumping up and down on the sidelines right before the Packers throw a touchdown down the left sideline. I don't know what they were thinking with those two brutal two-point conversion attempts after taking a 19-14 lead in the first half. And at the end, weird game management allows the Packers to have plenty of time down the stretch because the Texans couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. It's first and 10. You're knocking on the goal line, essentially. You're not quite there. It's not a goal-to-go situation, but you run the ball twice for a loss of five, and then you call a play to the sidelines that was not anywhere close to the first down. At that point, run the ball. Run off more clock. Make the Packers call another timeout. And if those decisions are done differently, the Texans win yesterday.
That's why this is a weird one because it's obviously very different than the Minnesota game in which you lost to a very good football team and just got dominated. You should have won this game. Like your quarterback threw less than 100 yards and you should have won this football game. But the clock management stuff, the 2-point conversion stuff for Bobby Slowick, he's terrible at it. He's terrible at calling anything. It doesn't matter what he does. Mixon just got smacked on that second one. The team has no chance in those close yardage situations. And I don't know how they haven't figured out an adjustment yet, how they haven't figured out what works for them in a goal-to-go situation. I mean, the fact that you have, you know, in your first four possessions, you start the ball on two of them on the other side of the 50, two of them, you know, on the 40-plus yard line, one of them was on the 45, they could have run away with this game. But they just were completely inept on offense. And I don't know. I expected just things to get so much better this year with the offense. When the offense was good last year, for the most part, but there were just games when things would stall out and they would struggle, like we saw in the playoffs versus Baltimore. You would think that a lot of it would get better, and it just seems like they cannot figure out what's wrong with the offense and how to identify it and change it. And that's why I'm with you. Like, this is a very frustrating game in the fact that you could have been easily a better football team than Green Bay yesterday. You could have been. But you just didn't execute a lot of the simple stuff. The clock management at the end, it's baffling, like you said.
They turned the football over 3 times. The Packers did some really dumb stuff on special teams. 2 Jordan Love interceptions, could have been more. The defense did what it needed to despite a lot of injuries. They didn't give up big plays, but your passing game, completely inept. I mean, deep steel blue pill, please give the offense one. They need a lot of blood pumped into that thing. It is brutal to watch. And, you know, going back to those 2-point conversion play attempts that you talk about, Joe, you're right. Short yardage situation, you would think that, okay, you can turn the ball around and hand the ball off to Joe Mixon. But the play before that, they run this play. 2 guys were going out for a route, and they're both double covered. Like, what are you doing? So, ultimately, with Bobby Slowik, a lot of people are punching him today. And I don't blame him, because we've been talking about Bobby Slowik either being too cutesy or not being able to get basic things accomplished for a while now. DeMeco Ryans, though, is a part of this, too. The offensive line is really where I get pissed, because you're paying $188 million for this thing. That's what the total salaries are for all 5 of your starters, if you combine them up. Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, Tytus Howard. That's $188 million in total contracts. And yet, they are completely unable to pick up anything complicated at the line of scrimmage. And I'm sure that part of that's on C.J. Stroud, and part of that's on Bobby Slowik. But any blitz, how many times do we see guys just coming right up the middle or right off the edge? No one picks them up. How often do we see misdirection and movement, stunts, if you will, by the defensive line that does not get picked up? I see this happening every single week, and I heard this comment from DeMeco Ryans after the game, and it triggered me a little bit. This is DeMeco Ryans talking about what this game taught the Houston Texans, what every game teaches the Houston Texans.
Every time we step out, it's opportunity to learn, opportunity to grow, right? We had opportunities here to finish this game. We had our hands on 2 balls there at the end, like ball was tipped up. You know, we come down and make a play there. You know, it's a completely different feeling right now. But you go back, you learn from it. We see the mistakes, win or loss. We always learn from it.
No, you don't. Where's the growth? Where's the learning? We're seeing the same stuff over and over again, and specifically it's with the offensive line. The offensive line is a massive problem right now. And look, I'm just a simpleton when it comes to watching film after the fact, but everyone seems to be in agreement that just slight misdirection and slight trickery by a defensive line is something they just can't pick up. So learn from it. You're not learning from that. You're not learning how to be better offensively. Bobby Slowik's not getting better. I don't see the improvement. And this is why, for a lot of the people, I see the Twitch is doing a victory lap right now, because they haven't bought into the Texans. And they get to today, because the growth that we have expected to see from this team, Joe, which we were talking about just a moment ago, it's not coming. They are 5-2. Season's not over. And they're still in actually really good shape. But a loss like yesterday is frustrating, because I don't see this growth. You're supposed to be getting better from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We're a third of the year plus through the season, and where are they improving? I guess they're getting called for less penalties. That's probably it, though. Nico Collins' departure should not be this much of a problem for the offense to overcome when you added Stephon Diggs this offseason, and you have Tank Dell, who, by the way, he sucked yesterday. Dropping a touchdown pass, that's right to you. It's right effing to you. Catch the effing ball. What are you doing?
Tank is, I think, is the biggest disappointment on the team.
Yes. I mean, whoa.
This feels like Damian Pierce all over again. We're like rookie year Damian Pierce. We were so excited about what he was, and then it's been nothing since. Tank Dell, it's not just that, like, he had 0 catches yesterday. Like, he dropped a touchdown pass.
Yes.
He could have probably caught that pass at the end of the game, too. Not that it was a good play call,
right,
but he could have caught it. I mean, the offensive line, because they gave up 11 sacks last year in the first 2 games. We gave them a pass because of all the injuries. But when you watch It's hard to tell with the video. I don't know if Dalton Schultz tripped Titus Howard, but like with that first possession where Titus Howard falls on his ass, it's embarrassing. You got the one just a couple plays later where Xavier McKinney comes in and smacks the hell out of C.J. Stroud because all the defensive linemen went to the right and Dalton Schultz had no idea that there was a nickel corner going to come right by him. They have no idea what they're doing. So whether it's Bobby Slowick or C.J. Stroud or Juice Scruggs, because I don't know who's the person identifying what's happening on the defense. Sometimes it's the center. Sometimes it's the quarterback. One of those two guys is the problem. And if it's Scruggs, replace him. If it's Stroud, bigger problem, but I don't know which one is the one calling out the protection because they have no idea what's happening in front of them. And you're right. Improvement. What improvement?
Where's the improvement?
There's no improvement.
Right.
They're going backwards.
I don't know if they're going backwards, but Joe, I definitely feel like they're on the same level, you know?
Yes, at worst, they're on the same level.
Because that's what's frustrating. Every single game has been the same. Every single game has been the same thus far. And okay, now you have a three-game sample size against good teams. You played the Bills. What happened in the second half of that game? You played the Vikings. Well, what happened at all in that game? And this game as well. Second half is where you seem to be coming out sluggish. That is directly a reflection of the head coach. That is directly a reflection of this coaching staff. And I'm not saying you need to make halftime adjustments, but it does feel like the other teams know what to do right out of the shoot. Second half, Packers came right back down and marched on the field, take the lead. And from that point on, you're like, oh, damn, okay, well, the Texans are going to have to figure something out. And with how difficult it was for them to throw the football, basically the offense became, all right, Joe Mixon, figure it out. That's high school. That is high school stuff. That's in Friday Night Lights, the movie, where they're giving the ball to Boobie Miles every single play. All right, Boobie, figure it out. Well, once that guy goes down or once it doesn't work, what's going to happen? So a lot of frustration here. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Joe's on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Sean Mapes behind the glass at Sean A. Mapes. I'm at Gallant Says. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Here he is, way down the field. Look out, he's picked. Picked at the 45 by Kalen Bullock, the rookie from USC, who already has his third interception of his rookie season.
The Packers made a lot of mistakes yesterday. So in response to a texter who said, should y'all have won this game? If the Packers lose, you could say they should have won this game. I felt like the Packers made more mistakes on the field than the Texans did. And I mean, just take a look at the turnover battle. Pretty one-sided. The problem is that the game management by the Houston Texans, as brought up on our YouTube by BVB09, with how bad the offense was yesterday, they were still in position to win. Our coaching staff blew it, plain and simple. That's where I'm at today.
I do agree that the coaching staff was awful, but at the same time, when Neville Hewitt has a massive interception, Kalen Bullock has the interception, you get the punt muff thing that happened, and you get very minimal points out of it. Some of it's on the players, too. And the coaching was the coaching's bad. But, I mean, for, you know, CJ to have less than 100, you know, passing yards in this game is astonishing. Like, I didn't think that he had that in his bag.
Is that on him?
It's a little bit of everything, right? Some of his coaching, I know I saw, like, on 80% of his dropbacks, he had pressured. So, like,
I don't know if it was 80. I know it was over 50.
At one point, it was, like, 12 of 13. I guess that was like mid game because I was like mid watching. I tried to watch on my flight. Disaster.
Yeah,
I had to watch it when I went home.
That's not fun.
It wasn't the Wi-Fi, just wasn't good enough. I got through like the first 5 minutes of the game and then it just.
Yeah, it just craps out.
I think I also killed it for the whole flight because then it went out for everyone for a while.
Oh, man.
I might have been that guy. But it was just, yeah, some of it's definitely on CJ. I would say proportionally, it's a much smaller percentage of the pie is on CJ. But the expectations and the standards we hold him to, you would think that he would find a way to overcome a little bit. Like when you talk about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, some of these other quarterbacks. You know, we saw yesterday in the Chiefs 49ers game, like we saw Patrick Mahomes have a pretty bad day and find a way to overcome, you know, his struggles. So some of it definitely goes on CJ, but this is where it goes back to what D'Amico said, the audio we played in the first segment, like improvement. What improvement?
Yeah.
I don't see any of it. They just look like the same team from week one.
Right. And that's a problem. Now, still a lot of season left, and you want to play your best football in December and January going into the playoffs, but it's been really hard. And to bring it back to C.J. Stroud, who might have had a touchdown pass if Tank Dell could hold on to it. This is Stroud when asked about getting Tank Dell more involved in the offense.
I think it's very important. You know, we've got to find a way to try to get him to rock, you know, and early and often, and then, you know, go from there. So I think, you know, that's got to be a focus for us. Not only just him, but, you know, just the whole offense. Just getting the offense clicking early, you know. So, you know, that's really my job, and my job to give the ball out on time and to where it's supposed to go. So, yeah, that definitely got to be fixed.
Slowick, though, has got to be making this happen. If they want to get Dell the ball more, he's got to find ways to do it. And it can't just be short yardage stuff. I mean, Stephon Diggs had 5 catches for what?
23 yards.
And 17 of them came on one catch.
Yeah.
So he had 4 catches for 6 yards, the rest of it. And it felt like these were designed 1-yard plays. And I'm sure there was a lot of the same for Dell. And okay, there was not a lot of time for CJ Stroud back there. So I don't know if he would have had the time to have a play develop, especially given that this offensive line has no idea what it's doing when it goes up against any sort of misdirection, delayed blitzes. But hey, I kind of wanted Stroud to throw Dell under the bus here. The ball was right in his hands. I get they're boys, but it was right in his hands. And you know, Mike Williams getting called out by Aaron Rodgers, maybe not the best show of leadership, but if I were a Jets fan, I probably would have felt the same way as Aaron Rodgers in that moment. And Dell should have had that. And if Dell catches that, this game could have gone in a totally different way. I feel like the offense still would have struggled to throw the football, but after a turnover to open up the game, what was it? Second play of the game? First play of the game?
Second play.
Where Hewitt gets that interception. You get a touchdown right there. I mean, Love might start pressing, and you might see more takeaways the rest of the game. Instead, blown opportunity, and it's partly on Stroud. It's partly on the offensive line, and it's a lot on the coaching yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the raw box numbers, it's startling to see only one receiver with more than 3 catches. More than 2 catches. Joe Mixon had 2 catches on the day. No one else had more than 2 besides Stephon Diggs. And some of it goes back to the offensive line. Is that not just the fact that they can't block, the fact that you're trying to have to use your tight ends to block, which they're also incapable of. Because your one big chunk play was in the first quarter with Dalton Schultz, that 28-yard reception.
Yeah.
Well, then he's having to block the rest of the game. So, like, they're trying to adjust a little bit. Like, the coaches are trying to say that Stover and Schultz are going to have to block to help CJ out to give him more time. But even that's not working. I mean, one of the plays that stood out with me is, and you can't even see what's going on downfield, but there was a play-action play where CJ had so much time. And he said nowhere to go with the ball because they had to keep so many guys in the block that no one was open downfield. So, like, they're not getting open. The play calling's bad. It's really, it's kind of startling to me, Paul, like how bad this offense is at times. I mean, the second half struggles are, the other team counters to whatever the Texans are doing well in the first half. And Bobby Slowick and CJ in this offense, they have no prayer on how to respond. This has been a problem since week one.
2 comments from Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey on the Twitch. Looks like all that yapping Stroud did in the offseason and podcast appearances is coming back to bite him. I suppose, another comment, I guess this is just how they are without Nico Collins. Is that a fair assessment?
I say no. It shouldn't be this bad without Nico. You should expect the offense to take a step back. Last I checked, he's finally now not the leading wide receiver in receiving yards. He was still last week. It shouldn't be this bad. He's still number 3 in the NFL. DK Metcalf's only 1 yard ahead of him in receiving yards. So, yes, it's going to be worse without Nico, but it shouldn't be this bad without Nico.
Does Nico Collins play right tackle? Does Nico Collins play left guard? Is Nico Collins picking up stunts when he's in? That was the problem for the Texans. They got their ass whipped on every passing down. They got their ass absolutely kicked up and down the field. I don't think having – I mean, Nico Collins would have, like you said, Joe, helped. But what would that have been? Three catches for 39 yards?
Like they probably win the game if Nico's out there. They only lost by 2 points. Like I feel comfortable being confident in saying they would have won this game with Nico Collins. But they should have won it without Nico
Collins. Maybe that tank drop would have been instead Nico Collins' touchdown in the first quarter.
But it just – it's blows my mind like how inept it is. Titus is the guy on the offense, right tackle. It's, I swear the offensive line's just better without him. I thought last year, as soon as he got hurt and George Fant went to right tackle, it looked better. I thought it looked better last week with Blake Fisher out there, or 2 weeks ago, whatever that was. Not that saying it's all Titus Howard's fault, but if Kenyon Green's this bad, maybe he has to go back to left guard. Like maybe they have to do that again.
Yeah, I thought about that last night doing the live stream, and then I thought to myself, well, that's going to not be much better because
he's not
good at guard. It's really frustrating how much you're investing into that offensive line. Junior Broncos comments, how is this not on Stroud? If he's as good as everyone says, he should will them to win in that game. River to the Sea says Stroud was not good this game.
Hey, he walked off the field with the team winning.
That is true.
That's the Tony Romo defense for 10 years. Hey, he walked off the field. Matthew Stafford in Detroit. He walked off the field with the team winning.
I'm not blaming this on the defense. The defense did all it was supposed to do in this.
The defense was awesome.
Yeah,
all things considered, the defense was insane.
Part of this is on Stroud, and I hate to Bobo for the quarterbacks, but also, what was he supposed to do? I don't know what he was supposed to do out there. And this has been, if you've been watching the games this year, it just feels like he is constantly having to leave the pocket and do impressive things on the run. And he's capable of doing it, but in this game, where I think with the way that the Packers were sending the rush, it was, I think, a little bit less clear where he could escape to because of the many directions they were coming from. They were running around the offensive line. So that was a great job by the Packers defense there. He has to get better as the game goes on. But this, with the way that everything went, with Dell not being involved, with Diggs having 4 catches for 6 yards in addition to the 17-yard catch, I can't look at anything but who's drawing these plays up? Bobby Slowick. And who's blocking for him? Because everything has an added degree of difficulty now for Stroud. And against a team like the Packers, who just got a guy who was a head coach in college football to come and be a defensive coordinator for this year, who's probably going to be getting some head coaching calls after what he's done to this point, I feel like there are legitimate excuses for C.J. Stroud in this one. He's definitely still a part of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, C.J. Stroud's been having to play Superman for most of the season. They've been in 3rd and 7+, I think, more than any team in the NFL, and he's constantly been coming through for you week after week after week. And the Minnesota game was a disaster, and then this game was worse for C.J. And if you have to ask your quarterback to be a Superman every single Sunday, eventually he's going to have a bad week. So, like, it's not all on C.J. It's definitely part of it on C.J., but he's been excellent still for the most part this year. He wasn't good enough in this game, but I'm with you, Paul, at the same time. I don't really know what else he could have done because everything around him is a disaster, or was yesterday at least.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glasses. Gallant and George, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Texans' disappointing loss to the Packers yesterday in Green Bay, 24-22. You can. At that phone number, you can tweet us at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass, or on Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. That's on the table, and that was a welcome to the SEC moment for Texas on Saturday. Oh, boy. Stick around.
Let's talk about OAthletic, OAthletic.com, OAthletic on Instagram. Look, after going on vacation for a couple days, I need to get back to the gym tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to hanging out with my guy Cam, my personal trainer. You can sign up for one to five times a week, whatever you want to do to work around your schedule. They offer over 100 classes per week. Those don't cost extra, just it comes with the membership. You can sign up, go whenever you want. So whether it's the weightlifting, agility training, or you want to dip your toes into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing, you can do all of that at OAthletic. Check them out, OAthletic.com and OAthletic on Instagram.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Challenging in time. They go long. They get the completion near the 1 yard line. Touchdown. Dontavian Wicks.
Call a timeout, D'Amico. You're jumping up and down on the sidelines. Throw the red challenge flag for the play before, or call a timeout there. Another game management decision yesterday by the Texans coaching staff that cost them in a game that they could have won, because Green Bay certainly gave them plenty of opportunities to win that one. It's Gallant and George. He is Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Saturday night, I was stunned. I think we all were stunned. We all took Texas to convincingly beat Georgia. And Georgia rudely welcomed the Texas Longhorns to the SEC with a 30-15 thumping. That final score, not indicative at all with what that game was, especially in the first half. I don't remember at what point in the game they showed the graphic of how bad things were for the Texas offense. I think it was before they put in Arch Manning for a couple of series. But there was a moment where they only had 38 total yards. And just given who Texas thinks they are, number one team in the country, everyone said, not just the number one team, the de facto number one team, to look as completely impotent on offense. You thought the Texans' passing game was bad? Texas against Georgia. Good God. I can see why they pulled Quinn Ewers for Arch Manning for at least a little bit of time, Joe.
Yeah, that was a tough watch. UT just, they looked overwhelmed in this game. And Georgia's been, I mean, they've had their moments this season where their defense hasn't looked like it was the last couple years, right? Like, they're still very good. They have a ton of talent. I'm sure they have a ton of NFL guys. They'll get arrested on the way. But, like, they're pretty good. But, man... I feel like I just have to defer now. I need to know, Sean. How we feeling?
Great. no, I actually...
We were texting each other in the midst of this game.
Yeah.
And I came along to the same opinion as Joe. Joe had said, bench Quinn for Arch.
Yep.
And Sean, your reaction to that was very funny.
Oh, I said... let's like take it to halftime and then reassess from there. And then that was during the commercial break, I think, as Texas's offense was about to come on the field. And then like two plays later, he throws a pick. I'm like, actually, you know what? Just pull him. And I honestly kind of think that, I mean, Sark got crushed for this, but I actually think he handled it very well. The Ewers Manning thing of like in the halftime walk off the field interview, he was like, I just need to get Quinn out of the game. He was like, I just need to have him out of the game to settle him down. And it like, it kind of did work. They were much better in the same, like they could actually move the ball in the second half.
Amazingly, both Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning were better than Carson Beck, who was atrocious in this game. He's the only reason that Texas was able to hang around as long as they did in the second half.
That's why it's like, it's such a interesting game to think about, because like the defense I think played like actually very well.
Yeah,
because all of the other than the last Georgia touchdown, which would like ultimately probably won them the game, which is funny to say in a game they won by two scores and they're up 20-0, but the last up until that last drive, all Georgia scoring drives were less than like 40 yards. And so it's like they just kept getting short fields because Quinn could not hold on to the ball. And Arch did have one fumble. But, yeah, it was it was a tough spot. Again, the defense played well. It's just when you get, I mean, like the Texans, when you get your ass kicked up front, you literally cannot move the ball up front. That's going to be problems.
Yeah, it's definitely not like a sky is falling moment, I would imagine, for Longhorn.
But it is. Like, it is a cold shower of reality. Yes, I mean, they thought they were going to waltz into the SEC and kick people around it. And honestly, the team probably needed this.
Yeah, and it is a situation. Like you said, if they do need this, it's like this is the game to get baptized. Is to lose to the team that, like, literally doesn't lose unless it's to Alabama. Since I think since 2020, their only losses are to Alabama, and it's like one a year.
Is there a quarterback controversy? I know that.
I think next time yours stinks, it is.
Okay. After the game, Steve Sarkisian was asked about the decision to pull Ewers for Arch Manning temporarily before putting Ewers back in for the second half. Here's what he had to say.
My feeling was in the game was I felt Quinn was a little uneasy, and you know, I just felt like giving him a chance to kind of step back, regroup, and I didn't know if we'd get a series or two with Arch, depending on how much time was on remaining in the half on the clock. So we just told Quinn, we said, hey, we're going to go with Arch here, give you a chance to get into the locker room, let's regroup, and then come back out in the second half. And so that's what we did, and I felt like it was effective. I thought Quinn came out and played a much better second half and played well in the third quarter. You know, Quinn's our starting quarterback. You know, I appreciate the fact that we're fortunate enough to have a backup like Arch that can come into the game and, you know, provide a spark in some sense. But at the end of the day, you know, Quinn's our starter. And like I said, but, you know, I think we've got to do a better job around him. I think he would tell you he can play better, but we've got to coach better. Everybody's got to be better for our offensive football team to perform better.
Who has more room for excuse after what you saw this weekend, Quinn Ewers or C.J. Stroud?
Well, I don't believe in Quinn Ewers. So.
I know you don't.
He threw for over twice as many yards. as
almost three times as many yards.
C.J. didn't break 90. So
yeah.
I don't love the fact that a coach has to be like, hey, man, like you got to chill out. So I'm going to take you out of the game. Like, that's something you hear a coach say. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever heard a coach say that. Like he's too amped up, basically. And he's too overwhelmed to handle being in a football game right now.
Yeah, he just
needs
a breather.
So he needs to go to timeout and collect his thoughts. And then he can come back into the grade. Like, come back into the game. Like, that's something I would do with my three-year-old. Like, hey, man, play time's over for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Take a breather and then come back.
Yeah, or yeah, you'll see it like sometimes in like the NBA, or actually it's more in like college basketball, which makes sense as college football, but where a guy just needs to like sit for a while just to like chill, or not even chill, just like catch a breath a little bit, because again, it is pretty inexcusable for a third-year starter to need that. However, I did watch that game, and there was a Georgia pass rusher in his face after half a second. After every single snap.
Who needs to chill more? Quinn Ewers when things like that go down?
Quinn Ewers.
Or Texas football fans who interrupted the game with a barrage of bottles and cans after a play that was a terrible call that ultimately the referees soft caved in and changed the call in Texas's favor.
Definitely Longhorn fans need to chill a little bit.
I mean,
it worked, though.
Yeah, it worked.
It did work.
It worked.
They got a turnover and a touchdown.
They enabled them. The referees enabled these barbarians.
Did Sark have to do the Greg Popovich get on the microphone?
He didn't get on the microphone.
But he did walk onto the field.
He had to give the universal sign for please stop.
I think that's my favorite thing that happens, whether it's college or pro, is when a coach has to like grab the mic and go, hey, guys, stop.
That happened to like the Cal coach a couple weeks ago where he was like, please stop throwing stuff on the field. Yeah.
He did the closest thing that he could.
Yeah, he ran out like it was on the other side of the field, and he ran all the way out there to
The field is closer. The stands are closer to the field than it used to be at DKR now, right? The track is gone, so they've moved the stands. Okay, so it wasn't like people were just absolutely launching it. Because for a moment, I thought to myself, damn, these people have really good arms throwing these bottles and cans out there.
Get one of these guys under.
We're in Texas. Like, there's probably a lot of high school quarterbacks out there.
Baseball players.
It was a rough night for Texas fans. This is Sark talking about that moment after the game.
I was literally just asking the official what he saw to warrant DPI. And then at that moment, the trash came on the field. And I understand frustration. We all were frustrated in the moment. But, you know, I don't think, you know, all of us Longhorn Nation, I know we can be better than that.
Be careful, Sark. They might start throwing them at you next.
No, yeah. No. I thought he did a very good job of handling that situation, all that's things considered.
I did too.
The best bit of coaching he did.
that's true.
I mean, talk about getting pants. I actually don't really have a problem with the throwing the trash on
you
the
field. Don't? Oh, you really? Are scum. Homer. You are scum.
If this was the Aggies, you would be burying them right now.
I agree.
This is the time where the 12th man actually makes a difference? I don't know.
Is this a win in the win column? So Texas as a program got fined $250,000. And guess they have video evidence to remove tickets from the people that they saw throwing it.
Yeah, they have.
Multiple people have gotten emails saying your ticket has been revoked. I mean, at least they didn't get a charge of any sort, you know, like a misdemeanor.
But like if you're a student, and I think it's safe to say it was mostly students doing this.
I hope it was all students and not grown-ass men doing this.
I don't know, Jim.
I'm not going to say 100% students, but they have apparently some sort of enemy of the state technology to where they can see who threw the trash.
The deep state. The deep state.
Would you rather lose your tickets or have to go to jail for like 2 days and then get your tickets?
I think 2 days.
For this football season? No. Well, can we talk it down to spend a night in jail? Because I think that's about how much you'd actually.
Okay. Tonight in jail, but you get to keep your tickets, or you just lose your tickets.
So for this, if I was a student today, night in jail. When I was a student in 2015 and I saw someone throw a half-full beer can on the field.
You saw someone throw it, or was it you, seeing as you're enabling that behavior?
I saw someone.
Okay, sure.
You congratulate him,
I see
though.
A twinkle in your eye.
You're like, great throw.
It was warranted, too. It was very warranted.
It was warranted to this guy. You're like a Browns fan.
It was very warranted. Hey, Paul, you don't get it. This is SEC football, all right? We care. Just means more.
I do get it. About you, that? Hey. Texas fans had a rough night, and I want to share this story with you. I'm stunned that it happened. So I went to Boulevard Park on 19th. I had a few to drink, watching the Texas and Georgia game. And at one point, one of my friends decides to take a video of like the three of us. We're just sitting around. And apparently, I don't remember doing this. Apparently, I horns downed. Apparently, I horns downed.
Oh, no.
No, this isn't the worst of it. So like a couple of hours later, I get a text on a group chat with my two best friends, who are both Texas fans. They start yelling. Like, just and to the point where I actually felt horrible. I felt like I had punted one of their dogs. The whole rest of the night for me ruined because they were so mad at me. And I apologized, too.
No!
And the worst is I wake up today feeling like a total pussy because I apologized to them. I can't believe I apologized to them. I knew this was going to be great for the radio in a couple of days, but in the moment, I felt so awful. I felt like I hurt them. And I don't even remember doing the horns down, but based off the video evidence, there's a hand that comes in at the end and is doing a horns down. And I guess it was me. I honestly don't know. I do not recall, but I took the L. And I kept on saying, I'm sorry. And then they would just like say, F you. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
When were you being berated in relation to the football game?
It was like 2 hours later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
everyone food. Had a few.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Everyone had
that
a
and your cat, you, that's a little lashing out.
It was yeah. A little? It was a lot.
Well, some of it was warranted.
This is a rough weekend for UT. I honestly want to make this right, so I'm just, I have no comment on the matter. I have no comment. No comment on the matter.
I mean, well, you should just text them now and say, how do I get back in your good grade?
No. I'm not. Honestly, I'm.
Maybe a live version of the fight song.
There's a part of me that wants to let this just, I want to see how long this lasts. Like, what if I never talk to my best friends again because of this?
I think
it would be a hilarious bit. I'll be miserable and sad.
Great bit.
And hanging with my cat all night, but I'm committed to the bit. You know me. I'm about this life.
I think Diego Pavia this weekend, quarterback for Vandy, takes his team down, scores a touchdown. horns down video.
Oh, Diego
double
Pavia.
Down.
No, no, no.
Double
I'm not, down. I will never do it
double
again.
Double down.
Now I understand how horns down can hurt people. And honestly, I'm on Sean's side now. Horns down should be penalized.
Yeah.
And honestly, I should have gone to jail on Saturday night for that.
Yeah, you and those fans.
I should have gone to jail.
They should have had the cameras. The, mm-hmm. They should have had the DKR cameras come pull you away.
Some people are saying buy a Georgia shirt. I can't in good conscience do that as a Florida fan. I can't do that. Can't co-sign that. But there
Florida,
you go, guys.
Last team to beat non-Alabama team to beat Georgia.
Really?
In 2020.
Oh, God dang.
They do play on the 9th, so Florida and Texas.
I know. It's
gonna be guess you're wearing a Florida shirt.
I'm definitely wearing a Florida shirt this time. I am not.
You should
I'm not
definitely
pandering.
Wait until after that game to extend the olive branch.
Yeah.
Or to have them extend the olive
that
branch.
Would be the most dickish thing possible. Right?
Carry the rivalry.
Florida's
all
not
going to
win. They have no chance. So let's not even.
DJ Lagway look good.
Give me Arch.
It's Galan and George. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I mean, it looked like I'm worried. Like, I'm not worried at all, man. I mean, we got a damn good football team. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we are our worst enemy. And I think that we just got to go out there, respond. We're going to go out there, learn from the tape tomorrow, and obviously just store it away. We're going to learn from it, and we just got to respond. And I think that we're going to respond in a hell of a way next week. So, obviously, it sucks that we lost. We had opportunity and just came up short, man. Just came up short. That's all that happened.
Mixon was great yesterday. He's been really good for the Texans this year. What are we talking about on the year? 405 yards or something like that? I mean, he has been a huge difference maker for this team, and yesterday he's the only guy that can walk off that field with his head held high. There he is talking about the Texans going forward. They are 5-2. The loss makes you feel, though, like they're not 5-2. Do you share Joe Mixon's positivity going forward?
Yeah, because they play a team that's capital A ass next week.
Capital A ass.
Like, the Colts are not a good football team.
4-3.
They're 6-point favorites for a reason.
They're 6-point favorites?
Yeah, that's how it opened at least. I don't know if it's moved, but they opened as 6-point favorites.
Okay, but I mean,
oh, it's 6.5 now.
Do we believe the Texans cover? They did cover yesterday.
Hey, they're on a 3-week cover streak. So
that is true.
I'm going to say yes right now.
6-point cover? I don't know. I mean, look, Anthony Richardson had another one of those weird stat lines where he ends up 10-24, I think, at the end of the game. But I don't share Mixon's enthusiasm because I'm still trying to hold them to a higher standard. They are 1-2 in games against teams that are on the same level as them, in that almost at the top but not quite tier of football teams. And they're not learning from their mistakes. That is a reflection of the head coach. And the offensive coordinator seems completely lost in terms of trying to create an offense that's sustainable. And on top of that, you have an offensive line that doesn't seem to know what they're supposed to do either.
Well, and he said also something that we've heard feels like a million times this season, we're our own worst enemy. D'Amico said it, Bobby said it, CJ said it, now Joe Mixon's saying it. Well, at some point, like, stop being your own worst enemy. First it was the penalties, and now it's just poor play. So they got the penalties fixed. Congratulations. Like, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite them in the ass soon. But, like, they've been their own worst enemy the whole season. That's what they keep telling us. They keep trying to tell us that. They're a better football team than they have looked, and the problems that are causing, they're causing themselves. Well, at some point, stop, please?
Yeah, like, we're getting dangerously close to we're our worst enemies or the Texans beat the Texans becoming the back of the baseball card for this football team.
Yeah.
Where it's the phrase that's like, hey, we know. Stop saying it. Stop saying, well, you know, if we just get out of our own way, it's like, yeah, but it's now been six weeks of this. Like,
Seven
weeks, sorry. Can you start getting out of your own way? Please? Please? Just to mix it up one time?
Yeah, just 1 week where you don't get your own way.
Just one game where, well, who are these guys?
Yeah, 1 week before you put the safety on, before you shoot yourself in the foot.
There were no penalties. Well, check that. There were less penalties.
Yes.
There were less. You know, penalties weren't the biggest issue with the Texans offense.
Growth. That's growth. That's learning from your mistakes. What is really funny, on one of the sacks, the fourth sack of C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil false started. They didn't call it.
Oh, yeah. They didn't call it.
Yeah. So it didn't even help.
Yeah. And on one of them, Tytus Howard couldn't hold the Packers defender because he just fell down. Can't hold him if you just fall down.
I still don't know if it was like he got Schultz's foot or something. But
I was trying to look on the replay. It looked like he just kind of lost his footing. I don't know.
He
just like slipped on the like G logo like in the middle of the field.
Supposedly, that field is one where footing is a problem. It wasn't in this game, but random thing I learned before this week's game.
Tytus Howard.
I was watching Inside the NFL, and Bill Belichick said, you got to make sure you wear long spikes for games at Lambeau Field.
All right.
Typically, guys fall like when they're running forward, though, not backwards like that.
It is rare you see a lineman fall down, like going into a pass.
Yeah, like I know like, CJ, like week one, like he slipped on the middle of the field and completed the pass. Great play. But, like, we don't typically see offensive linemen just like, the wall came tumbling down.
Yeah, timber.
The next two games for the Texans are, again, back in this realm of they're not going to impress anybody with what they do in them. And it's interesting because the Colts are a 4-3 team. If the Colts win, you're both going to be 5-3, and you'll have split the season series. But it's the Colts at home, and then after the Colts, you've got a short week before the Thursday game against the New York Jets, who look like an effing disaster.
If firing the coach has worked out great for them.
They lost to Russell Wilson last night. And it's funny, all this PR that they've been doing, you know, trading for Devontae Adams. I guess Hassan Reddick is going to be back now, too. All of the things that they're doing, people still aren't buying in. And Aaron Rodgers is saying, well, I stay positive by not paying attention to the media. Okay, so do you not pay attention to your fan base? The entire city of New York that's aware of your existence?
I mean, like, right now, like, the biggest thing going for him on Twitter is that as his team's losing, he's digging for gold and eating it on the sidelines.
Oh, he's doing a little booger searching?
Can't do that on the sidelines, Aaron. Like,
why not? What's wrong with picking your nose? Sometimes you got to.
I mean, you can't eat it.
Is he actually eating it?
It kind of looks like he ate it.
He kind of looked like it, or he did eat.
He goes from nose to mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have I don't think we have indisputable video evidence.
Yeah.
So the call in the field might have to stand, but
yeah, if I called it a nose pick and eat and then you threw the challenge flag, I think I would still win.
Okay.
I think you would lose the challenge.
I used to have such bad allergies during football season that in the middle of the games, the entire game, after every single play, I would blow my nose on my jersey. And my jersey was disgusting by the end of every single game. It was bad, man. October, that's where the pollen really kicks up in Florida. And I didn't have the allergy pill that I take now that has somehow resolved all of my issues. I don't know how it's done it. It's just a routine Amazon pill. You can get 300 of them for like $15. I have no idea how this, knock on wood, has stopped me from having the allergy issues that used to make me cough all show long and stuff like that. But yeah, and I'm not blowing my nose on my shirt these days.
What color jerseys? What color jerseys did you guys wear?
White and green. So the green ones blended.
Yeah, green.
Perfect.
Good green day.
Yeah.
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 Blended white's in. Tough.
The white was tough. The yellow was tough.
It looks like
grass
stains.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. All right. It's Gallant and George. Texans lost to the Packers yesterday, 24-22. If you want to weigh in on that game, you can also weigh in on Texas, their disappointing loss against Georgia. Up next, the reason I'm so frustrated with the game management by the Texans yesterday is because of the way that Texans players talked about one brutal sequence afterwards. It's Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul Sean behind the glass. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. The Texans actually did cover. How about that? But you can bet on so many things at mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. They're going to double your initial deposit. You get to play with that right away to bet on live sports, to play blackjack. You can even bet on the presidential election. We got a pretty good Monday night football game tonight. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Currently, Baltimore 3.5-point favorites on the road playing in Tampa. This is one of those nights, too, where we have two Monday night football games, which is getting a little bit old. And I think this is the one that's only available on ESPN Plus. Thank God, because I don't have any plans to watch this one. But the Chargers and Cardinals at 9 o'clock. Chargers 1-point favorites. The Cardinals are an enigma. It's kind of difficult to figure them out this year. But if I'm betting on these two games, I'm betting on the Chargers to just win. I feel like the Cardinals, with how much they quit last week, I feel like they're an easy pick, and they got their doors blown off by the Packers. It is mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.